broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for September 7th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always, ladies and gentlemen, is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We believe the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, is the answer. That is the Constitution for the United States of America. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant and one of the great solutions to deal with the problems we face. We're never for a revolution, but always for a restoration. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We have a distinguished guest on the line. He's a four-star general. He's retired from the Air Force. He's got experience as a fighter pilot and a whole lot more. His name is General Al Hansen. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very, very much. Pleasure to be with you.
What do we got, 61 days till the election, something like that, and the battle is on big time. You know, there's a lot of statements about the military. There's a lot of statements about people doing different things. And people are lining up behind Trump's candidacy, and it's like the mainstream press and the insiders in government can't figure out why, General. Do you have an answer for him?
Well, you know, the statement I would say is that the one thing that Donald Trump has done in his campaign has his continued strong support to a strong America and a strong military. He might have been soft in a few other areas, but he has never backed away from his support to the military and also to rebuild our military back to what it was at one time. You know, if you take a look over the last 8 years and see the continued deterioration of our military forces, you know, based on a, you know, even a dirty word, it's called sequestration, which has reduced the military budget on a continuing basis. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, at one time our military act as a deterrent to our potential adversaries. And now they recognize that our military is not as strong as it was 8 years ago and that there might be opportunities to take advantage of that weakness. And in some cases, we certainly have seen that.
Let me ask you this. I would submit that it's systematic and intentional, this lack of budget and reducing the size and scope and capabilities of the military. It's systematic and intentional. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, it might be. I haven't really heard that, but there's certainly not been any tremendous support from President Obama, you know, to go ahead and turn the tide and to go ahead and put the military back into full funding. And, the other thing that's been very disturbing is the fact that the military has not gotten a budget. And here we are, you know, the military budget is supposed to start on the 1st of November, and here we are, we have no military budget, and it's called continuing resolution, and that within itself creates major problems to the military people as they look for funding and as they look and try to determine, you know, what the strengths and weaknesses are and what needs to be done. So it's just a major issue that we have right now that has been deteriorating the strength of our military forces. You know, just stop and think. Our pilots are flying an airplane that's going to be 70 years old, the B-52. You know, what other country is flying airplanes in that vintage? And, of course, we're having difficulty right now in maintaining and keeping the readiness of the airplanes, not only the Air Force, but, you know, the Marines recently lost three FA-18s, and although the accident boards are still under review, there is some indications that perhaps it was because of a lack of spare parts or not keeping the airplanes up to date and modernized. So, Yeah, there's some major issues that we're facing, and the United States has always been able to go ahead and maintain, you know, those things that the Constitution gives to the people, and also, you know, earlier in your show you talked about freedom, but a strong military has been the basis of the United States of America ever since the Revolutionary War, being able to protect our shores, protect our citizens, and my concern is, you know, as you look at the world, what's happening in the South China Sea, you look at what's happening with Russia, you look at Iran, you know, out there playing games with their gunboats on our United States Navy. There are major issues that this world is facing right now, and the United States needs to be strong to go ahead and make sure that, you know, our civilians, our citizens are protected. So, yes, I'm quite concerned right now about, you know, where we're going and heading, and if someone doesn't come and change the route that we're on, the policies, and I believe the person to do that really is Donald Trump. I think he is going to go ahead and do what he says with the military and also with our veterans. You know, the VA has had lots of problems. So,
yes, sir.
It's a major issue that's facing this country, and we need a strong leader to go ahead and reverse the issues that we're facing.
Do you think it rises to the level of a national security issue, this lack of support for the military?
Well, it certainly is. You know, the problem is that right now most of the direction comes from the White House, and as you talk to the leadership, the senior leadership, and they say that Susan Rice and her team on the White House actually is doing a lot of the direction for the military, and of course there's not any expertise there, and of course, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a political appointee. He always has been, so he has to listen to the direction coming out of the White House. So I believe that once November passes by and we have new leadership with Donald Trump, that we'll see this. But yes, I believe that this is a national security issue.
What's Hillary's answer for this national security concern we're facing? Do you know?
Well, you know, I've known Mrs. Clinton for a long time. As a matter of fact, I was the wing commander, base commander at Little Rock Air Force Base when her husband Bill was the governor. And so we did have some actions and activities with her. She was never a big supporter of the military then. And, you know, she may mouth a few words about support, but I don't see that Hillary Clinton is going to be willing to go ahead and provide the funds necessary to go ahead and build our military back. And you know, for years, in order to keep our military strong, it required 3% of the gross national product, the GDP. And we have been funded underneath that. At some point, you know, I'm sure we're going to have to go back to 5 or 6% to go ahead and get our military strength back. But once again, that's money well spent to go ahead and provide for the security of our nation, and also to go ahead and continue to go ahead and be there for our allies. You know, a lot of our allies are saying that the United States of America is, you know, is forsaking them, and there's some indications that perhaps we might be doing that. So, yeah, there's some pretty major issues that we're facing. And I haven't seen Hillary Clinton making any strong overtones towards, you know, making the military what it was once before.
I don't even hear a plan from Hillary. I hear Donald say, look, we're going to build up our military. We're going to strengthen it. We're going to be Reagan-esque. In other words, we're going to walk softly but carry a big stick. We're going to have, you know, negotiations around the world, diplomatic speaking. We're going to do all this, but yet we're going to make sure we have a strong military. We're going to take care of the veterans that have sacrificed their lives and their well-being for us, we the people. We're going to have a different view on this. I haven't heard a single real direct plan by Hillary at all, have you?
No, I haven't. Just the other day, you know, she did say that she was going to, you know, she was concerned about and she would support the military, but you know, I don't remember her saying anything about her position on the VA, and I'll be truthful with you, you know, I have great reluctance believing what that woman says, And I'm not so sure that she's not saying it politically and then just forget about it if she's elected. Whereas, you know, Trump is a man of his word, and I believe that he will stand there and stand behind what he's saying. You know, he says he doesn't have a lot of military experience, but he's going to listen to the generals, and that's a good thing, that he's going to take the advice, or at least listen to the advice of the military people.
All right, General, I have a quick break. Can you hold on just a second? We'll be right back.
Right.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, four-star general with us on the line, General Al Hansen, retired from the Air Force, experienced as a fighter pilot and more. We're talking about the military. He's supporting Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Our guest on Liberty Roundtable Live, four-star General Al Hansen, retired from the Air Force on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. He's supporting Donald Trump because he believes the military has been reduced to the point of concern and that we need to make a change and rebuild, re-strengthen our military. Donald Trump is clearly committed to do so. Hillary, not so clear. Is that the most polite way I could say it? Anyway, why are people lining up behind Donald Trump? Why are military members lining up behind Donald big time? I think the answer lies in this. Donald Trump has just been endorsed in an open letter by 88 retired generals and military officials, urging a long overdue course correction in our national security posture. The 2016 election affords the American people an urgently needed opportunity to make a long overdue course correction in our national security posture and policy. As retired senior leaders of the United States military, we believe that such a change can only be made by someone who has not been deeply involved with and substantially involved or and substantially responsible for the hollowing out of our military. For this reason, we, meaning these 88 military leaders, say we support Donald Trump's candidacy to be our next commander-in-chief. General, were you part of that open letter?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, I was, and I certainly believe in that, and I was happy to see that so many of my fellow general officers and flag officers agreed with me and also signed up for the letter. And
believe it or not, they said way more than 88 were involved. They just didn't have time to get all the names before they wanted to release it so that people could see it before the election. That's huge, sir.
Well, it is. Well, it just shows the concern that that the military people, retired and active duty, have got. You know, the new chief of staff of the United States Air Force recently said that the United States Air Force can no longer meet the commitments that it's being asked for by the senior leadership, and that in order to go ahead and meet it, we're going to have to go ahead and restructure some of the internal workings of the Air Force to provide more manpower for the combat mission. And so you know, it's just not people talking without the basis. Things are just not going well. And you take a look at the Army, you know, the Army's heading to 420,000 people, a decrease of hundreds of thousands of people from what it was in the Cold War. The United States Air Force during the Cold War was 640,000 people, and today it's just barely over 300,000. Over 2,000 airplanes have been reduced. This is not a, you know, people just talking. There are hard facts that substantiate the fact that this, you know, our military is not as strong as it was. And all you have to do is take a look at what's going around the world to see that our adversaries, you know, recognize the weakness. You know, do you think that China would be flexing its muscle in the South China Sea if the United States had gone in immediately, you know, and if they knew that we had a strong leader that would stand behind the forces, or Russia or North Korea? I mean, these are all examples of our adversaries recognizing the weakness that the United States military has.
And what about sending big cash payments? What about big cash payments to Iran? And the concern that might have on the terrorism front, and then running around and trading, for hostages at some point? If you pay to play there, it just emboldens the world to say, all we got to do is capture some people and get the U.S. to pay, right?
Yeah, it's a disgrace. You know, it's absolutely a disgrace to think that that we did that. And then, you know, try to make it sound like this was something that we had to do. You know, as a good point was made, okay, we're standing behind our obligation to Iran. Is Iran standing behind its obligation to pay, you know, those people that were hostages, and they held them for the better part of several months, and there's major claims against them, and what does Iran do? And Iran said, you know, well, you know, so what? So once again, it just shows, you know, the weaknesses that people feel, our adversaries feel across.
And my big concern is, where's that money really going to go, and what's going to be done with that money? Is it going to be used to arm and train and fund terrorist efforts around the world? I certainly pray not, but I have a feeling the answer is yes. My co-host, Kurt Cosby, though, saw an interesting article about the military. Kurt?
Well, yeah, it looks like Mr. Drudge has the headline, says Trump is up 19 with the military, although there's some that are worried about the possibility that the election might be tampered with. But NBCNews.com says that Trump leads Hillary with the military by 19 points, 55% to 36. These are voters who are currently serving or have previously served in the U.S. military, as according to the NBC News Survey Monkey.
General, do you think it's even stronger than that, a 19-point lead for Donald over Hillary with regards to the military?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's much stronger than that. I know everybody that I've talked to are totally behind Donald Trump. So I'm not sure that even the active duty military, you know, when you talk to them, because, you know, they see what's happening to the service. You know, the morale is down. They see that they're not being supported with the best equipment as possible, the best technology. And so they recognize, you know, that right now that we do need a change in leadership. We need a change in policy to go ahead and bring our military back. So, yes, I think that the military is going to be much bigger than that.
Yes, sir.
As far as supporting Trump.
Some are saying they feel like the election might be rigged, too. Do you believe that's credible?
No, I don't.
You don't?
You know,
okay.
I have a lot of faith in the United States of America, and I hope that, you know, keeping our elections pure is one of the things that everybody will stand for. And because, you know, that's the basis of our nation. So let's hope that that another country can't get in and mess our election up. If they do, then there should be very, very strong consequences against them if they try to muddle in our electoral
process. Last quick question. Do you believe the email scandals and Benghazi and some of these things that Hillary's been involved in, does that create a national security crisis, and what should be done there?
Well, unfortunately, I was disappointed with the director of the FBI in his overall decision. I think there was enough information available that Mrs. Clinton certainly was more than just careless with the handling of sensitive information. And her response, you know, that she didn't remember being briefed. You know, I remember when I was briefed on top secret, on the senior classifications, so, you know, I just don't feel that this woman is being straightforward.
I would submit that if she can't remember, I'm not so sure that's the makings of a commander-in-chief. You can't have somebody who's the leader of the greatest armed forces in the world and not be able to remember.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It's not only sad, though. It's actually scary, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is scary, you know, considering that what we're faced in the world. And of course, you know, our big allies. I have a lot of friends in Australia and a lot of friends in the UK, and they're all watching what's going on in the United States very, very closely. Because, and of course, you know, not to forget, you know, how about Israel? Netanyahu, he needs the support of the United States of America, and he's not been getting it.
We're flat out of time. Thank you so much, General. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. The trick, ladies and gentlemen, is how do we have a strong military defend America but not get too hawkish around the world? Donald is providing the blueprint right now. And believe it or not, the military, big time, is for Donald Trump. Thank you, General.
All right.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
During the Bill Clinton administration, White House advisor Paul Begala described a simple formula for overcoming congressional resistance through executive orders. Stroke of a pen, law of the land, kind of cool. George W. Bush expanded on that theory of the president as lawgiver, referring to himself as the decider, and attaching signing statements to legislation in which he claimed the prerogative to ignore provisions of acts he signed into law. Although during his 2008 campaign, Barack Obama criticized such actions as unconstitutional, he too has built upon the precedence of his immediate predecessors, using executive orders and administrative decrees when Congress has refused to cooperate. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, who doesn't appear to understand the constitutionally prescribed limits of executive power, has made frequent and extravagant promises to set policy through executive decree. So has Hillary Clinton, who, unlike Trump, is an attorney with experience in both the legislative and executive branches of the federal government. In anticipation of becoming the first Democratic president in over a century to take office without full control of Congress, Clinton is campaigning on promises to take far-reaching and legally contentious unilateral actions that go beyond the steps taken by President Barack Obama, reports Bloomberg News. They include giving work permits to 5 million undocumented immigrants, requiring background checks for purchases of firearms online or at gun shows, imposing long-term limits on climate warming emissions, and closing a tax loophole that benefits hedge fund managers. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live, star-studded show to say the least. Wow, welcome to the broadcast. This half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys. Thepowermall.com at 877-817-9829 or thepowermall.com on the internet. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Wow, four-star generals and more, 88-plus prominent military leaders, open letter, blatantly endorsed Donald Trump, and they say, for this reason, the reason being, well, it affords the American people an urgent opportunity needed to restore the military. It's been absolutely decimated, hollowed out, and it's got to be stopped. But 88 retired generals and military officials flat out endorsing Donald Trump, that is huge, not to be ignored. 19-plus points, Donald over Hillary, military. Many of them are concerned about election tampering as well. While that's going on, Clinton has always criticized Donald for not having details. But Donald has a border plan, detailed. Where's Hillary's? Donald has a military plan and a veteran plan, detailed. Where's Hillary's? Well, Hillary hasn't had an official meeting with the press for 260 days. She tried to have one on Monday, but yet it kind of melted down. She had a coughing fit and had to cancel. I'm not qualified to really speak to her health problems, except to say it concerns me greatly. And it should concern you. From one, the coughing spells. Two, we see video and photos of her not being able to walk upstairs and all kinds of strange things like that. But if that's not enough, her memory fails her at critical times. I sure don't think we can have a commander-in-chief with a memory problem. Anyway, Dr. Jane Orient, medical doctor, janeorient.com, the website. Dr. Jane Orient happens to be the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. That's a voice for patients and physicians as well. Doctor, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that I was listening to find out this news.
Now, I want to talk about this with Hillary, though. Let's talk about her memory at first. Either she's lying, which is even of greater concern, or she really doesn't remember. In either case, you cannot have the leader of the largest military in the world, the freest nation in the world, with memory problems, can you?
I would think that's very dangerous. If she could not remember having briefings about the security requirements of the department she was heading, how is she going to remember briefings about complicated foreign affairs issues.
And if she goes and speaks with these leaders, how is she going to remember what she committed to and or discussed and or, I mean, the list goes on and on, right?
Well, this does appear to be a problem. Now, some suggested that maybe it's a legal strategy on her part, so she doesn't.
That's called a lie, though.
To the FBI, because it's kind of hard to prove that somebody lied about not remembering something. And this strategy goes way back to the Whitewater days, early in the first Clinton administration. So it could be that, or it could be a real memory deficit. And this is of great concern because of her history. Just the history that we know about is on the official record that she had a very serious concussion, which can leave you with traumatic brain injury and deficits that persist for a long, long time or forever. Plus, she also had this blood clot in one of the two main veins that drain blood out of your head. And this can cause increased intracranial pressure with all types of symptoms and cognitive symptoms and can be fatal.
Does coughing relate to this at all? Again, to me, I don't understand these medical details necessarily, but you got memory problems. It's not just that she coughed. It's that she coughed for 4 minutes straight, and then later in the day, she coughed so hard she had to cancel a press conference. These aren't just little, you know, my goodness, I have a cough today. These aren't just little allergy things, are they?
I don't think so. I don't know that it's related to her known risk factors for a neurologic disease. But it is concerning because if a person has seasonal allergies and has a cough, usually you can get rid of it pretty easily with some steroids. And if she's had this for a long, long time, why doesn't she have a better allergist? I think there's likely something else going on there. And I don't know what it is, but it certainly appears to be disabling, at least when she's having the cough, and that appears to be happening pretty often.
Now, what's funny about it is when it's brought up as a concern, then Clinton and her allies dismiss it as you guys are hyper-conspiracy right-wing nuts. I'm not in any conspiracy, Dr. Orient. I'm just telling you that I'm concerned. Then she coughs, and in the middle of it, she goes, golly, I'm allergic to the Donald. Whatever I think about Donald, I just have these conniption fits. And she kind of laughs and mocks and ridicules anybody who has genuine concern. That alone is concerning. To not take it seriously?
I mean, these are the... Her history is very seriously concerning. You would not let a high school athlete go back to play goalie after he had had a serious concussion without checking him for memory problems and other cognitive things. And, you know, being president is more important than playing soccer. And this blood clot in her brain, the letter from her doctor in July of 2015 claims that it dissolved completely. But I don't know how she knows that. These things generally do not dissolve completely, and they may leave residual damage to the vein, and you continue to have a problem with getting blood out of your head. You know, you can live with a swollen ankle because you had a blood clot in your leg, but a swollen brain is a whole different matter.
Where do we go from here in terms of accountability? We ask, she mocks. We can't seem to get any real pay dirt or truth serum on this, so to speak. That alone is concern. It seems like somebody somewhere ought to be able to demand accountability here. Look, Hillary, we expect third-party, non-compromised, non-insider doctors to be able to evaluate things and give a genuine... It's kind of like when I go through an audit. You got to have an uncompromised party do the audit, not kind of an insider. And right now, we're just relying on Hillary's inside doctors for the diagnosis. If someone like you speaks out and says, hey, I'm concerned about this, then they try to say you're unethical. Where does the rubber meet the road?
They're either trying to discredit anyone who speaks out, or they are just making fun of them. The fact is that a lot of the American people do not know about her most significant medical history, her blood clot, and her concussion, and they would be concerned about it if they did know.
The mainstream press seems to be all too willing to help cover this up, aren't they?
I am just appalled that the mainstream press is not asking these questions. Why am I asking these questions? I'm just a doctor out here in Arizona. Why isn't the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the people who really have influence and have access to any doctor they want to call on the phone, why are they not looking into this? They certainly haven't quoted any doctor saying, well, a concussion is no big deal, even if it admittedly takes you a year to a rehab to get over it, or this blood clot and your transverse sinus is no big deal. Nobody's on the record as saying that these conditions are not serious.
Because they can't in good faith say that.
I think that's right. And you to for follow-up, there's some sophisticated evaluations that need to be done. A letter from your doctor, your regular primary care doctor in 2015 is simply not adequate. You need to have a neurology and neurosurgery consult.
How many different ailments can we put together, and does it start to paint a picture? She's had trouble going upstairs. She tires real easily. She has all kinds of coughing fits. She has a brain clot of some kind, whether it's dissolved or not. I'm not so sure you can make a statement like that. I question the doctor because, as far as I've been told by everybody, you can tell that it's decreased, but you can't really definitively say it's gone. It could also appear tomorrow, too. Anyway, different things can happen. It can move. I mean, the list goes on and on. So you got a problem with memory. You got a problem with your brain. Then in blood clots, you almost wonder if swelling of the brain relates to the memory problems. Then you have trouble walking. You have coughing problems. Does this start to paint a picture?
Well, I'm not sure how to put all of it together. I think a lot can be explained by traumatic brain injury and increased blood pressure or increased pressure inside the skull. How the cough fits into that, I'm not entirely sure. But certainly, if it were a simple allergy, the doctor ought to be able to control it.
Now, what about this idea that she just has awkward interactions? I've never seen Hillary. I mean, Bill's really good at dealing with people, but whenever I see Hillary with anybody, she is absolutely super awkward. I mean, even when she got on the plane the other day, she says, "Oh, this plane's awesome, guys. Don't you just love it?" And the press is like, "Yeah, yeah. How was your weekend?" "Oh, really good. Oh, great. Hey, by the way," and she, you know, pointed out a guy that she knew or whatever. And then she's like, "Well, I got to go. See you later." She spent 89 seconds with the media. And then her interactions are completely awkward. Is that a symptom of anything, or is that just Hillary's goofy?
Well, that's hard to say. Certainly people who have a traumatic brain injury do have trouble interacting with people normally. And whether it's just her longtime personality, she's never really been likable or good at interacting with ordinary people, or whether there is an aspect to it of brain damage and maybe trying to cover up for some things, that's really not clear.
All right, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jane Orient with us, doctor from Arizona, medical doctor. She's the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, back in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Dr. Jane Orient, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, drjaneorient.com on the internet. Wow. So, Dr. Jane Orient has appeared on major television and radio networks in the United States speaking about issues relating to Barack healthcare or Barry care. Talking about reform and solutions, we'll have to have her back in discussion with that. But now we're talking about Hillary's health problems. Her health problems seem to be legion. What it all adds up to, we don't know. But no doubt, it's of great concern, to say the least. Now, Dr. Jane Orient, one of the things we noticed, too, that there is a mystery man. And this mystery man appears right beside Hillary at critical times. In other words, she has a coughing fit and the mystery man shows up. The question is, do you think that the media will ever ask questions about this guy? We've noticed him. He appears. We don't think he's Secret Service because he puts his hand on Hillary's back and touches her. Secret Service never really touches somebody like that. So there's big concern. I don't know if it's a personal doctor, somebody with expertise. She was holding a bottle of water. She starts coughing. They hand her a glass. She drinks the glass and then gives them the glass and the bottled water back. She ignored her bottled water. The question was, there something in that? We bring that up. They say conspiracy. But when you start to have strange things like that and then mystery people appearing right beside Hillary Clinton at critical times and no one knows who this guy is, what do you say to that?
Well, it certainly leads to a lot of speculation, doesn't it? It just seems that they could answer the question. He's been around for a long, long time. He apparently disappeared for a while after suggestions came out that he might be a New Jersey neurologist who has a lot of extra training in epilepsy. I don't know whether that's who he is or not, but that man could simply resolve the issue by saying, that's not me.
But you know what? You don't have a man appear at weird times because you have allergies, doctor.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He could give you your inhaled steroid or your prednisone pills ahead of time when an attack's coming on. He doesn't need to be by your side.
Do you think Hillary's going to melt down before the elections? Do you think that the stress will add to her health problems to the point where she just simply will not be able to appear in public and handle the debates and handle the rigorous campaign trail? Or do you think that they can give her medications and do things to walk her through just about anything?
I just don't know. I think that they are trying very hard to cover up the problem and to have her appear at certain necessary points. And maybe people hope that people don't notice her absence at other times. I mean, most of the Americans, the majority of them, are not aware of some of her most serious past medical history issues. And they really need to know who they're voting for. Is Hillary going to be just a front for whoever is really making the decision when she's incapacitated, whether that's all the time or just part of the time? Who is behind her?
Well, and maybe the mystery man has other intentions. Maybe he's somebody who would run the presidency if she was there. I mean, would he appear alongside in security briefings and everything else?
Who knows? Maybe he's like Rasputin, who ran a lot of the Russian government back at that time. Doctors could be doing it, or he just could be the doctor, and one of her aides could be telling her what to do. And maybe her aide is influenced by all of these people who gave multimillion-dollar contributions to the Clinton Foundation. all of these things are speculative because we really don't know, and the questions need to be raised.
Is there any way that you think we can get to the truth? Or is it just going to be speculation until the election? Hillary gets elected. They control whenever we see and hear from the president to the point where we really never even know. Is this going to be just a sham all the way through?
Well, we have a lot of sham going on even now. Do we know what all is going on in the Obama administration?
Certainly not.
Do we know what's going on in Congress? So much of the Congress is compromised by skeletons in the closet. I mean, there is so much corruption at every level of the government that it truly is frightening.
All right. Where do we go from here? Is there a way that the people can demand accountability on some of this stuff, or do you think there's just no way?
I think everybody needs to talk about it. Everybody needs to ask the question. Everybody needs to tell the press to do their job. And ultimately, we have the voting booth. And it's not just the presidential election, but the congressional elections. We need to elect men of courage who can stop just helping the administration cover up, who can stop abdicating their power to the judiciary and the executive branch.
What happens when they just say, oh, conspiracy, whacked out, nuts, people, and they just simply mock to the point where most people don't have the guts to say, don't care, this truth matters?
Well, I think that this is a problem, that if we do not have courage to speak out, then we're lost. And it's up. Every American has the responsibility to say his piece when he sees something wrong and help to wake up the rest of the population that is cruising along thinking everything is perfectly fine.
Are you a Trump supporter?
Yes.
All right, the reason I ask is because they're going to say, well, you know what, if you're a doctor and a Trump supporter, you're only bringing this stuff up about Hillary because you like and want Trump. Your response?
I would say, well, why don't you ask the people who are calling Trump all kinds of, attributing to him all kinds of mental illness? Are they a Hillary supporter? I mean, if you just say that you have to be completely above politics to have an opinion, a medical opinion, is really going to exclude just about everybody from the debate.
Now, they say Hillary's old, Donald's old. Shouldn't both of them release more of their medical reports?
Oh, I think that is a reasonable request, and Mr. Trump has agreed to do that if Clinton does.
But Clinton, of course, won't do it, as she criticizes Donald.
Well, and it's difficult to know, too, if you're getting the full report. How do you know what's not there? And how do you make sure that the people who are saying things do not have a reason to lie, whether fear or whether partisan political leanings or what?
Or sometimes they're even expected to write a report without the information.
Well, right? There's a lot of ways for pressuring people, and there seems to be just kind of an atmosphere of fear in the United States today. And we have to overcome that, because without courage, we cannot survive.
Well, they say when the government's afraid of the people, we have liberty. When the people are afraid of the government, we have tyranny. And it seems like we're certainly moving towards the tyranny side. Most Americans are afraid to even bring up the stuff we're talking about for fear of the IRS getting sent after them, or some goons appearing in suits at their door or something like that, right?
Well, part of the problem is that the President of the United States has far too much power that vastly exceeds what is rightfully belongs to the executive branch according to the Constitution. And so that's why this election is so very important. If back in the olden days it didn't matter quite that much who got elected, because he didn't have so much power.
In all fairness, I'm going to ask the question, if we've asked so much about Hillary's health, some people are saying Donald's mentally ill. The guy's crazy. The guy, speaks out of both sides of his mouth, and he's not stable. I know you can't make a diagnosis because you haven't seen these people in person and everything else. What do you say about the allegations against Donald Trump, medically speaking?
Well, I think that it really is not proper to make a psychiatric diagnosis when you haven't examined the person. And a lot of it sounds just like people who really, really dislike him for some reason, and they are going not so much by what he said, but by how the media spun what he said. If there are questions about his neurological capability, then he should have the same type of evaluation as Mrs. Clinton. But I don't know of any facts about his history, blood clots or accidents or to the brain, or any signs of neurologic impairment, Mr. Trump. All of it's been that they think that he's nuts because they don't like the way he thinks.
Well, in my response, a lot of times, though, people do this in negotiating all the time, doctor, and any good negotiator will tell you this. You come out saying something absolutely over the top on purpose to, one, get attention, and to, two, to demonstrate the absurd by being absurd a little bit, and then you come to the table and you discuss what's real. It's a tactic used all the time. And so I'm convinced some of what Donald is stating is just that, and it needs to be taken as that.
I think that may be true, but I think it's important to listen to what the man himself says and not read what the spinmeisters are saying he said.
Oh, I agree. I'm just making a point, though, that oftentimes you do that. What about his response to people? In other words, his claims about, you know, women are ugly or this or that and that and the other. And do you take it as just a reality TV guy trying to be presidential?
Well, I'm not going to comment on generalities. Show me something specific that he said. I mean, I just don't make much of the accusations that of people, very anti-Trump people, are saying about what they think he meant.
A perfect example is that Donald said that Hillary did not look presidential, and then they ripped him apart and said, I can't believe you're talking about her looks. And he just said, no, look, I'm talking about, you know, she stands there and coughs. She doesn't seem to know a lot of times what's going on around her. She doesn't have a plan for the military. She doesn't have a plan for the border. She just doesn't look presidential to me. They've spun that to be an attack on looks, but I don't think so. I think it's a genuine statement about she's not prepared to be president, and you can just see it in everything she says and does.
Well, of course, a lot of people have said the same thing about Trump, that he does not look presidential. You know, that's political commentary. What we're talking about is serious reasons for concern about a person's brain function because of just the risk factors in the past and what is happening at present. A lot of which we don't really know.
We're out of time, Doctor. We sure appreciate your breakdown. We need to talk about healthcare and solutions there. We'll call you sometime. Will you come back for that?
Certainly.
All right. We sure appreciate you. Give out your website, will you?
AAPSonline.org.
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 All right. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate you.
Thank you.
There she goes, Dr. Jane Orient, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the genuine concerns. Forget the conspiracy, forget the hearsay. I did that on purpose to get the difference between when it doesn't matter versus when do we have a genuine concern that needs to be explored. Dr. Jane Orient hit on it perfectly. We got to find out what's going on with Hillary's health, and we need to demand the press do their job, and we need to know the truth on this, or we got to vote against Hillary. It's that simple. This nation shall endure.